What is going on, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome back to the potentially long-awaited return, depending on who you ask, of Is This a Bad Take? As always, my name is Garrett. This is the little solo show thing. This is also where I post Steel and Teal. For those of you who come in here for the first time, we also do a show with my buddy Jalen called Two Dudes of Sports News. This is a little solo project I've taken on. I'm trying to do about once a month, where I discuss something going on in the sporting world that day, give my opinion on it, and you decide whether it's a good take or a bad take. Hence the name of the show. Now you're catching on. So, for those of you who aren't football fans, and for those of you who are, let's talk about it this way. This was the biggest weekend of the NFL offseason. This was the NFL draft this past weekend as of recording this. Now, for those of you who don't know and haven't been able to figure out by the show, Steel and Teal, I am a Jaguars fan. Now, today's show, I'm going to be giving my opinion on the Jacksonville Jaguars picks. Do I like it? Do I hate it? If you're a big Fantana fan, what would I rate it? who was a reach? Who wasn't a reach? Stuff like that. Do I like the game? What do I like? I'm also going to give my opinion on our UDFAs that we signed, our undrafted free agents, for those of you who are new to the sport. And I've got, I think, about three that I think are going to make the final cut for the roster. But let's just get right into it. For starters, right out of the bat, Brian Thomas Jr., I'm going to be perfectly honest, and I've been very, very vocal about it. He wasn't a prospect I was completely sold on right out of the gate. And admittedly, I think that was just because I hadn't seen enough on the guy. And after looking into it, listening to more people talk about it, and kind of taking a step back instead of trying to have that, you know, hot opinion type situation, I like it. I like this option. Dude is one of the second fastest players in the class. He's probably going to be playing our Z receiver position. So we're going to give this guy a running start. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the hands. The only concern I feel that a lot of people have with this guy, and I don't think I'm alone with this, is the usage of the route tree. And he didn't run a ton of the route tree at LSU. Now, my question is that scheme or is that need? Now, scheme isn't always based on the talents of that receiver. Scheme may be based on what is needed of you during that time. And Brian Thomas Jr., with his speed, was told, clear this out for all the mid to underneath routes. If they buy to the mid to underneath, we're hitting you for the home run ball, hence the amount of numbers he put up in this past year. He was 1,000 yards and 17 touchdowns. That's not nothing. I like the pick. I love everything. One of his favorite routes is the slot fade. We all know that Trevor loves to throw the slot fade. I like it. I'm sold on it. I think it'll work out. Second round, pick 48, Mason Smith. Again, I like it. I think it was a little early, maybe, but a lot of people were down on this kid because of the past year. What a lot of people don't know is he was coming back from a very severe knee injury, and he wasn't really 100% to the last couple games of the season. The biggest knock I've seen a lot of people have on this guy, and it's the same knock that I have, he's a very raw prospect, but the physicality is there. His ability to, you know, rush the passer, stop the run, he all the tools to succeed and be a dominant defensive end or defensive tackle in this league is there. He's just a very raw prospect. And I think, you know, for those of you who also don't know, the Jaguars linebacker coach is the former LSU defensive coordinator. So if anybody can get what they need to get out of this kid, it's this team. Again, I like it. A little bit early, but I like it. Jerrion Jones. I think it's Jerrion. If I'm wrong, I apologize. Jerrion Jones. Love it. Absolutely love the pick. He's a press man corner. We got him right where we needed him. You know, I'm very, very happy with this. I think he won't have to start right away. I think he'll play in the nickel quite a bit to start out, but with the ability to move outside. Absolutely love it. Great pick. Good film, good player. And best of all, he actually wants to be here. Absolutely love it. Javon Foster, again, love the pick. I think he bumps inside to guard and gives us a little bit more depth there, but he could also play tackle if needed because that's a position he played out of Missouri in college. I think a lot of people share the same sentiment as me, where with his speed, he might bump inside and play guard, but he's an absolutely great pick. Really showed out at the Senior Bowl. Really, really, really like it. Here's the pick that's dividing the fan base. Round four, pick 116, Jordan Jefferson out of LSU. Shocker. I don't hate it. I don't hate the pick. I think that you draft, and here's what you'll notice with this entire draft. All of our players have an average RAS of 8.72. One thing Baalke said, he told you, Trent Baalke told you what he was going to do during this offseason. He told you in interviews, he said, we're going to get bigger, we're going to get faster, we're going to get stronger. Every dude in this class is an athletic freak, excluding Cam Little. No disrespect towards kickers. Kickers are people too. But that's honestly the only way I couldn't find the RAS on. But Jordan Jefferson has the athletic potential to be a good player. The thing for me and why I don't hate this pick, to me, what I see is I see a backup plan in case Devon Hamilton doesn't return to form. He had a down year last year. We all know it. He was coming off a severe injury during the offseason. He just wasn't the same player. To me, I think it's possible for him to come back to form, but Jordan Jefferson is a similar type of player that could fill that role if we need. I don't hate it. It's not my favorite pick. I think it was a little early, but you also got to think, was this us just reaching, or was this potentially other people had a higher grade on him than some of these analysts did? So I don't know. Here's what I try to tell everybody. None of us are in these war rooms. If one of you who's actually listening to this, who is close to teams and stuff like that, would love to know why Jordan Jefferson and why was it so early. Like, we know what happened with Michael Penix. Michael Penix went in the top 10 because he wasn't going to be there if the Falcons traded back. I don't hate that pick either. It made sense. That's their guy for the future. You get him now, because if you do this right, you'll never pick in the top 10 again, and let him sit and learn and be fine. And Kirk is going to be 36, coming off an Achilles injury. You know, it makes sense to have a good contingency plan. So I'm not mad at that. But for me, like that's how I feel about this. Like, was George Jefferson higher on people's boards? Were we that infatuated with him to the point where we didn't think he'd be there at our next pick if we traded back even? So I don't know. De'Andre Prince, I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. I think this guy is going to be a core special teamer right out of the gate. I don't think he's going to start. But I definitely, obviously, I think he makes a roster. I think he, you know, I liked his tape. He's a physical corner. He's got a good eye for the ball, and everything will be good. The one thing, and I want to go back to Jerrion Jones. The one thing that everybody seemed to have an issue with is tackling, which I'm going to get into that towards the end. But again, that's something that could be fixed. Kylan Robinson. Everybody is questioning why we took a running back with our second pick in the fifth round. I can tell you why. We took him for special teams. At special teams ace, he's going to be back there returning kicks with Duvernay, because with the rule changes, you can have a minimum of 9 men on the line of scrimmage for new kickoffs. So you can have Duvernay and Robinson back there returning kicks. You can have two back there now. You can also have none if you wanted to, which I don't know why you would, but if you wanted to, you could have none. But you have to have at least a minimum of 9 guys on the line. If you have two returners back there, Robinson will be one of those guys. Cam Little, absolutely love the pick. Great pick. Phenomenal pick. Needed a kicker. Love the kicker. Love his confidence. Love that he's rocking 39. Man, keep rock the 39. Rock the college number, especially if it gives you the accuracy and the ability to do what you did in college at this level. I'm in. Let's keep doing it. Back to Kyler Robinson real quick. The reason why a lot of you guys haven't heard of him is because who he was behind. He was behind Brooks. He was behind Roschon Johnson. He was behind, or yeah, Roschon Johnson, and he was behind Bijan Robinson. Texas had a great amount of running backs and a good stable of very talented running backs. So a lot of these guys have, they're coming in fresh, and they also haven't had a ton of usage, and they haven't really, you know, not a lot of people know about it because they know about the main guy. So I like it. I like the Robinson pick. I like the Cam Little pick. Miles Cole. This is a Somebody said it best, and I don't remember who it was. You know who you are if you said this. I'm not taking credit for this. He is the epitome of a just straight up ball of clay when it comes to he's the epitome of a project, but he's also a seventh round pick. He's not supposed to be polished right out the gate. He's a seventh round pick. He is an athletic freak, and I mean that in the best way possible. He's got super long arms. He's quick. He's fast. He's strong. He's everything Balky looks after or looks for when he's drafting guys across the offensive defensive line. But he is a seventh round pick. Now, that's not to say seventh round picks aren't important. Late round picks are always important. Every single pick is important. That's the idea behind this. And I like it. I think he's got potential if we're going just based on pure athletic talent. If we can coach him into something, this could be something, this could be a good situation. Overall, I'd give us a B plus for a draft. We drafted needs, we drafted what we wanted. Were there potentially better players we could have taken at the time? Sure. Guys like TJ Tampa plummeted towards the end. There's plenty of guys that before the season even starts, before we look at anything, you ask questions. Hey, is this really the best guy? And honestly, none of us know. None of us know until he gets in the field. We can speculate, we can guess, we can claim that we know these things, but we won't actually know until they step onto the field. As Trevor says, game isn't played on paper. But that's it, the draft. I give us a B plus. And the one thing I like about this class too, while each pick may have their weak spots, because I don't think any one of these prospects is a perfect prospect, every single issue they have is something that's extremely coachable. If you look at Brian Thomas, a big concern is a route tree. Route tree is super coachable. Mason Smith, it's just focusing in on the abilities he already has. It's teaching the little things. Again, super coachable. Jerrion Jones, tackling, coachable. Javon Foster, just working on some technique and footwork, coachable. Jordan Jefferson, again, the coachable situation. DeAndre Prince, coachable. Every situation and everything these players are potentially in that they would need to work on to become the best player they need is something that is easy to coach. You can't coach athleticism, you can't coach speed, but you can coach certain abilities like tackling and route running and just being able to read the defense of the offense. There's thing that stuff you can fix and work on, but you can't teach speed, you can't teach size, and that's something I feel like we address in this class. So that's it for the class. Now let's look at undrafted free agents. So for those who don't know, the current list of UDFAs we have as of recording this, Andre Carter, Joshua Cephas, we'll just go off that in college. So, or sorry, Sean Bowman out of Rutgers, Andre Carter out of Indiana, it's a tight end, a defensive end, Joshua Cephas, wide receiver out of UTSA, Brevin Easton, wide receiver out of Albany, Jalen Jackson, running back out of Villanova, Stephen Jones, guard out of Oregon, Trey, it's either Kisser or Kaiser, linebacker out of South Alabama, Lorenzo Lingard, running back out of Akron, Andrew Parker Jr., linebacker, Appalachian State, Josh Proctor, safety, Ohio State, Wayne Ruby, wide receiver, Mount Union, Joseph Skates, wide receiver, Memphis, and David White Jr., wide receiver, Western Carolina. There are three players in this undrafted free agency class that I am very excited about, and I actually think will make the team. It's Joshua Cephas, it's Josh Proctor, and it's Wayne Ruby. So let's go down one by one. First of all, Joshua Cephas, the fact that he fell to be a UDFA is criminal. Everything I saw, I had a guy, had a second to third round grade on this guy. I don't think anybody had a day three pick on him. I think everybody had him pretty early. He's got size. The only thing he's a little on the lighter side, but again, you could put weight on. It's fine. If you look at his numbers for his past three seasons, 2021, 71 catches, 819 yards. Six touchdowns. You look at 2022, 87 catches, 985 yards, six touchdowns. And then 2023 is when he sort of came onto the scene. You're going to have 89 catches, 1,100 yards, and 10 touchdowns. He's got the size. He's got solid hands. He's got the ability to break tackles. He's got a pretty good, I don't want to say mastery of the route tree, but he can. I like it. I like the pick. These shows usually stay around 10 to 15 minutes, so I'm not trying to go too into it. I really like the pick. I think it's good. I like the signing. Honestly, I really think he gets a spot. I think he ends up making the roster. I think everything goes well. And I think he ends up being our Elijah Cooks or Tim Jones this season. Let's get to Josh Proctor. Josh Proctor, I think, is going to be another Andrew Wingard, Daniel Thomas type situation. Mostly Daniel Thomas to me. He's a physical safety. He's a physical defensive back, not afraid to hit anybody. I think he's going to be sort of like or a special teams ace for us and decent in coverage if we need him. But I think he'll make it just solely on the special teams phase. Wayne Ruby is the prospect I'm honestly most excited about. He's out of Mount Union. First of all, shout out Cecil Shorts. Jaguar, great. But Wayne Ruby, for the last 3 years, 2021 through 2023, he has had over 1,000 yards each season. He's actually had over those 3 years, 4,382 yards. He's also, and this is where it gets crazy, he has had 58 touchdowns over that 3 year span. 105 receptions, 1,473 yards, 13 touchdowns in 2021. 105 receptions, 1,785 yards in 2022 for 30 touchdowns. Yes, 30, 3-0. 2023, 75 catches, 1,100 yards, 15 touchdowns. This dude's it's a video game. He's putting up video game numbers. And yeah, it's D3. Oh, yeah, whatever. D3 level of competition. I don't care. 30 touchdowns is fucking impressive. 1,000 yard receiver for 3 years in a row is fucking impressive. 58 touchdowns. 58. Yes, 5-8. That is just over an average of 19 touchdowns a season. If that were Division One, just to, just for shits and giggles, let's look at how that would have placed this year with receptions. If this was D1 and it was getting tracked like D1, this kid would have been up there with the likes of just his past numbers. Let's just look at last year. 15 touchdowns. That is more than Brendan Rice, Adonai Mitchell, Malachi Corley, Keon Coleman. That's more than Rome Odunze. That's more than Luke McCaffrey. That's more than Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Troy Franklin. And that ties Jalen Royals out of Utah State for the second most receiving touchdowns in Division I college football. If he were to be playing at the D1 level, Brian Thomas Jr. obviously led with 17, but 15 touchdowns is nothing to turn your nose up at. I think the kid makes the roster, man. I really do. I really think the kid makes the roster. It's we all love a good underdog story. I think the kid makes the roster. It makes sense. I love what he does. I love the tape. I love the product. He's what every creative receiver does in Madden when you do that franchise or a not franchise mode. That career situation that I know they change the name on it. I don't fucking care. When you do their career mode on Madden, that's the numbers everybody puts up is 30 touchdowns or something like that. That's insane. But I do think he makes a roster. I think Proctor makes the roster. I think Wayne Ruby makes the roster. And I think Joshua Cephas makes the roster. Also, Jarvis Landry is going to be at our rookie minicamp. That'll be interesting. I don't know how it's going to turn out at 31. I don't know what he has left in the tank. But we'll see. I always like juice. I'm interested to see how this plans out. But that's it for Is This a Bad Take? If you think this is a good take, let me know. If you like my opinions, let me know. If you think this is a bad take, also let me know. The best way you can do that, go to at ITA Bad Take Pod on Twitter and voice your opinions. I always love a good conversation. Let's keep it nice. It doesn't have to be nice. Let's keep it respectful. Let's, try to be adults about this. There's no reason to devolve into name calling and stuff like that. That just gets out of hand. And if that's where this goes, I'm not going to entertain a discussion. But that's where I'm at. B plus for the draft. Like the UDFAs we signed, I think three of them make the roster. That's where I stand. If you like the show, let me know at ITA Bad Take Pod on Twitter or give me a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Somehow that helps drive us up the charts. Feed the algorithm gods, all that fun stuff. If you listen to Steel Until, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you didn't like the show, treat it like a bad date. Your friend set us up, didn't work out. It's not you, it's me. It's not me, it's you. Whatever you need to say, and whatever, helps you feel at peace about not enjoying the show. That's fine, whatever it may be. No reason to leave negative views. Let's just move on about it. Let's be adults. Two ships in the night never happened. We'll never speak again. But I appreciate your time and giving me a chance. If you like my show, You can also check out Steel Until It's Done on the show. Go check out me and Jalen doing two dudes of sports news over at TDSNPod on Twitter. Go check out Jim over at Fan of the Van. These are shout outs, by the way, if you haven't figured that out. Shout outs we do for people who retweet the show links and also who give us 5-star reviews and shows that I just like and have worked with and listened to in the past. If you like mine, you'll like theirs usually. Go check out Jim over at Fan of the Van. He also does a show with E-Man over at Average Joe Sports called Cigar and Sports. Go check that out. It's fantastic. Brent and Dave over at 1420 Sports, the guys at the BS in Sports podcast. Aaron over at Brutally Honest Sports. Darian over at Chill Takes. We just had him on. Two Dudes of Sports News is a great time. Always love talking to him. Go check out Dave and John, Love of the Playing Field, the guys over at the IAP Radio. Go check out John over at Wrestling Fan Insight. If you're, personally, I'm a casual wrestling fan. So if he dumps it down to the point where I can understand it, then I'm sure anybody else could. Always, always, always go check out Sports After Dark. Go check out the guys over at Coil over at Visit Vegas Places. If you're looking to gamble, please gamble responsibly. Don't bet the house. Go check out Nate's Daily Wager for any good gambling takes on sports stuff. If I missed you know I love you. And I appreciate you. You know who you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as always, I'll see you next time.